Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. You'll notice in our bulletins we have all the lectionary readings printed, but I'm only going to read from Luke today. And so just hear these words from Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. As some of you know, and as I said at the beginning of this service, I have been very blessed to take 3 weeks of very wonderful, blessed vacation outside of Alaska. And I've spent it with some dear friends and family, and I affectionately refer to it as the tour of babies, since I visited one of my old roommates in Minnesota and got to hold her first baby, little Sasha. And then I visited Chicago, where I spent lots of early morning snuggles with my godson Henry and his twin brothers Abram and Nolan, fighting over who got to snuggle under which armpit and jabbing as they went at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I spent the last portion of my trip with my brother and his family down in Texas. Now, anytime I spend with couples, I try to validate and support both partners and not take sides when some disagreement comes up. It's just safer that way, right? And people love to look at me whenever I'm in the room with them and expect me to pick a side. It's a trap, right? It's just not safe for me to do it. So I don't want to play favorites when these disagreements come up. In fact, sometimes when they come up, I just sort of stare at the ceiling and look at those light fixtures. Yeah, those are pretty nice, just to stay out of it because I don't want to pick sides. It's not safe. Now, visiting my brother and sister-in-law, a particularly contentious topic came up, one of these hot button issues that they're going to disagree on. And every family, every set of friends has different topics that are off limits, right? Just things we don't discuss because we do not agree on and it will not end well, right? Like, did anybody make it through their Thanksgiving dinner without bringing up politics or COVID vaccine mandates or whether it's stuffing or dressing? It's stuffing, don't worry. But one of the topics that has sprung up in my brother's marriage is the highly volatile debate over when it is appropriate to decorate for Christmas. Now, we were born and raised in a family that was very militant about nothing came out until the day after Thanksgiving. Anybody else in that camp? Oh, okay. We have a few, right? You know, it's like not a single Christmas song. You hear it come on the radio, turn it off, right? You can't be, you know, changed by Mariah Carey's words, right? You got it. You got to stay focused on Thanksgiving and be grateful, right? Don't get out the wrapping paper. Don't turn on the lights on, nothing. Now, my mom did this because she was very adamant that we celebrate the season of Christmas going into Epiphany, right? So I get my church nerdiness from my mom, who was also very committed to that Epiphany, right? We were folks who didn't take down the Christmas tree until well into January when Epiphany was over, right? So, like, that's part of it. It wasn't just like we were like, oh, we don't want Christmas, but it was Christmas had to start after Thanksgiving and last well into Epiphany. So my brother has married a woman who wants to put up her Christmas decorations on whenever it's convenient for her. And this year it was November 20th. Chip was beside himself. He just kept walking through the living room muttering while bringing each green and red tote and just, I can't believe she's doing it. It's just not right, right? As he's bringing each bin of Christmas decor down from their attic. Now, I, like Chip, prefer that decorations don't go up until after Thanksgiving, and I don't play Christmas music intentionally until after that turkey has been put away. But I have to tell you, that first time I hear Christmas Carol, when it's in with my parameters of what Christmas celebration is, I get so excited. And I am so filled with Christmas joy when I get to pull out the wrapping paper and start thinking about presents for people I love. And I get so excited when I get to put up my tree and plug in the lights. But I fight it. I resist it. I keep it away, and I snarl at anyone who rushes the seasons, right? Complaining, God, they just get earlier and earlier every year with this Christmas stuff in the stores. Anybody else maybe have said that in their lives? In fact, I caught myself doing this when I was down in Texas, where my brother lives, because in his neighborhood, as I walked my nephew in a stroller, wearing my sandals, shorts, and tank top, sweating, there are these giant Christmas blow-up reindeer shapes in the front yard of these houses. Big presents and these whole schemes of like Christmas winter wonderland things, while it was 81 degrees out. And I just was blown away by all the Christmas lights plugged in every night in the middle of December. The audacity. But at one point, while Chip was dragging the bins in dutifully and muttering away, his wife asked him, "What are you so upset about?" And he said, "It's just not right to put out Christmas decorations before we've even had Thanksgiving." And then he did the thing that I hate most when I'm around couples, and he looks at me and says, "Right, Meredith?" There is no safe place to be when a couple wants you to pick sides. Now, I didn't want to offer any support, even though you know where I fell on this. But before I could, Vicky said to Chip, "I just want to enjoy them more this year." Oh, she said, "I just want to enjoy them more." I get stuck in rules and guidelines, usually self-imposed, sometimes learned of the family or friend tradition of what the right way is to be. And I often forget that many of these things that we have such clear, indignant rules about are taking away the actual focus of what it is to be. So while I was in Texas judging all of those silly homeowners for having their Christmas lights on, do you know what I did the minute I pulled into my driveway when I got home from Alaska? Even before I went inside to see my dogs? Plug those lights in, because coming home to 3 degrees, man, I wanted some lights to guide me home. Because the lights around my house make me feel at peace. And I get so excited as I'm driving down the street and can see my house getting closer and just see the glow. It feels warm even when it feels really cold outside. I think we get lost in our rules sometimes because we're concerned with it messing up the tradition or messing up our routine or messing up some other unspoken expectation. And while I trust that you all will defend your position either way, right? For those who are strong and true about nothing changes till after the leftovers are put away on Thanksgiving, I don't expect to change any opinions. And if you want to argue with your spouse in front of me, I will look at the ceiling and stay out of it. But I do challenge you, invite you, that perhaps as we enter into this Advent season, to understand this more nuanced knowledge of preparation. See, every year we start Advent, the new year of the church, with scripture readings about preparing and making room, right? Making the way for the Christ child in our homes and in our lives. And we do it as a church, as a faith community, by changing the paraments to blue, by bringing out the Advent wreath, by singing certain songs, right? We don't sing O Come Emmanuel ever in the church year except for Advent, right? So we have certain songs that when we hear it, we're like, oh, that's Advent music. And we spend this time as a faith community kind of reveling in this change as we prepare and brace for the Christmas chaos of our lives. But I wonder, what does it look like to prepare a bit earlier? And I know this is scandalous because I'm an Advent purist, right? And I have fought this battle long and hard. But I wonder if perhaps instead of waiting for this day after Thanksgiving, like a calendar flip to pull a certain bin out of the attic, but instead of limiting ourselves to this preparation of receiving the Christ child, of God Emmanuel, God with us, to what we think we're supposed to do, but by preparing in the way we feel like we need to. And that means maybe hanging your lights up mid-November. Then do it. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with a lot of things. But most importantly, that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. Jesus is teaching his friends, his disciples, there's going to be a lot of heavy stuff that we experience. Don't weigh yourself down with all these extra worries. Look at the fig tree, look at the plants, look at the animals. Trust that you are cared for. He says, be alert at all times. Not just when we think Santa is watching, or when we're supposed to get ready for Christmas, or when we're supposed to get ready for God Emmanuel, God with us, but at all times. And being alert, being on guard, being prepared, or getting prepared may not only manifest in the way that we think it's supposed to, like Advent or Christmas time, but living each and every day in the search for joy, for the bright lights on the rooftops, for the peace, for the quiet of the snow falling, for the love, for the time we spend with our friends, with our family, doing the things that we love, that just, you know, those things that just make you feel good after you do it? Advent challenges us in so many ways each year. And as we enter into yet another new year in our church cycle, I invite you to let go of the pressured expectations of what you're supposed to do and to live in the goodness of life, to let go of the worries and weight of rules that we have given ourselves, that have been put upon us, and instead dwell in the love, joy, and peace of our Christ child here and now. Thanks be to God. Amen.